Thank you, God, for your powerful words this morning. Pray we understand them, take them in, and live by them. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you all know, we as a church here at Calvary Chapel Lake Forest, you and I have been going through this big decision concerning the church and rates going up in the community. Our lease was up, and we had that other building on the corner as well as this one. And we prayed about it, waited on the Lord. Should we renew our lease or shouldn't we? Can we afford to continue both buildings or one building? Can we afford or lease any of them? What do we do? As a pastor, I was praying, what should I do? And we made a decision, and we're going to be here in this one building, and here we are today, and if the Lord doesn't come back next week. So praise the Lord, and thank you for your prayers. But the point is, I and Christians all want to know the will of God in their lives. That's probably the most asked question. What is God's will for my life? You know, all of us desire God's guidance and wisdom. We don't want to make a mistake. Today, we're going to go over on how to receive God's guidance, direction, and will for our life. Aren't you glad you came? Yeah. Well, first of all, in verse 1, and this is actually what I had to go through. Verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Solomon is writing, and he's given wisdom to a human son, but we know God is our Father, and he gives us wisdom. So this is from God to us, speaking to us. God is the author of Scripture. So we take the word of God, and we listen to what he has to say. So the first lesson we are taught on how to know God's will, how to be in God's will, how to have guidance from God, wisdom from above. The very first truth here is, do not forget my law. So the very first point is to know God's word. We need to know God's word. That's basic. If you didn't know God's word, you wouldn't know how to be saved. We need to know God's word. When I came to Jesus, even before that, when people were sharing with me, they were sharing things with me out of the Bible. I never read the Bible in the church I was brought up in. And the words they were sharing, I couldn't believe they were true. But when I started looking in the Bible and read it, I says, wow, it's really there. How come no one ever told me that? That I can know where I'm going to go when I die. Did you ever wonder where you were going to go when you die before you were a Christian? And I did, and I says, wow. I don't want to walk around every day wondering about that. That's a horrible thought. You just want to live. But if you don't know God's word, you don't even know the basic things concerning life and death. So the number one rule to be in God's will, to know his will, to be guided by God, is not to forget his law, his word, his command. You know, it's good to have instruction, isn't it? When you receive medication, they give you instruction. Now, you can be one of those rebellious people and say, ah, I don't need to do that. Well, guess what? You're going to suffer. Or you can be an obedient person and do it, and you will be healed. But if you didn't have instruction, you don't know how to do things right. Are you the kind of guy that likes to put things together and not read the directions? That's why we have wives. Because they do. They like to use the directions. We don't, right, guys? We know how to do it. And so, but I found when you're all done, you say, well, this doesn't work, and I've got an extra part here. How foolish they are. They gave me an extra part. You see, we have to follow instructions. So we are to keep, you know, we're to know his words. Do not forget his law. Instruction is important. And instruction on life and death is most important. And it's given to us in God's word. So I can't be in God's will unless I know God's word. Does that make sense? I mean, the instruction says here's how to be good. How to live good. But the second part of verse 1 is, let your heart keep my commands. So it's not only knowing God's word, we have to do God's word. Because I can know it, the instructions on that bottle can tell me what to do, but I cannot do it. And if I don't do it, the instructions didn't do me any good, did they? Won't do me any good. So how do we? God's word is truth. And through God's word is how we learn God's truth, the right way. It's through God's word. We learn guidance, direction through God's word. That's how we do it. If we don't know God's word, we won't know the truth. We won't know how to live. We won't know what's right. We won't know what's wrong. So we must be, as Christians, in the word of God. You don't reach a certain point as a Christian and say, well, I don't need to pray as much or be in the word of God or Bible study anymore. Yes, you do. We need to grow, 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 and be reminded. In 2 Peter, as we're going through on Wednesday nights, Peter's saying, I'm saying the same things to you to remind you of these things. In other words, he's telling the people, you've heard this before, but I'm reminding you. I'm reminding you. I'm reminding you. You can go to church and say, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. I've heard that before. Good, because the message is the same. Be in God's word and do it. But if we're not in it, we're not even going to be able to do it because we won't know it. So we need to be in Bible study, daily reading. Let God's word be that treasure to us each morning. A parent wants the best for their child. They want the best for their child. The problem is many children don't want to be told what to do by the parent. And they hit a certain age and they know everything, so you can't tell them anything. But don't you want the best for their life? If only they understood that at a young age. You see, the problem is they don't want to receive instruction. So many suffer because they don't obey. God is our Father. He wants the best for his children. God loves you. God loves me. He wants the best life on this earth for me. He has given us his word, his commands, so that we can achieve his best and our best. But if one is not studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, knowing God's Word, doing God's Word, they will miss out on life. We never want to be at one point in life and look back and say, oh, I wish I would have done this or that. I wish I would have not done this or that. We can all look back and say, boy, I wish I never did that. It's too late. You can't do anything about it. But today you can start to do everything you know to do right. Today, that's what's great about the Lord. His mercies are new every morning. We can start today to live this way and be in the center of God's will. In verse 2, if we do that, we're in God's word and we do it, it will length of days and long life and peace they will add to you, his word. Isn't that wonderful? Length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. I don't know if anyone that doesn't want peace. Peace. Isn't that a wonderful word? To wake up in the morning and be at peace. Oh. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Our peace is in him. You see, our lives, it tells us here, will be healthier, more peaceful in most cases when we live according to God's word. Doesn't mean we won't have trouble or tribulation or affliction in this world, but we'll have that inner peace. And we'll be living according to God's word. Look at the illnesses, tragedies we avoid if we don't damage ourselves with sinful activities. Of course, it'll be more helpful to live according to God's word. We won't be abusing ourselves. We won't be addicted to things. So, knowing God's word and doing it brings health, peace, and we know we're in the center of God's will. That's number one. As we know God's word and obey it, we grow in it, we achieve that. And then in verse 3, we see, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. We as a Christian are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what's happening to us. We're being conformed into his image. So mercy and truth are part of his character, the Lord's character. He's merciful and he's truth. So as we're in God's word and doing it and living that way, we need to display this character of the Lord to others. So the second step is to live out and display the Lord's character, and that is truth and mercy. It has to be part of our daily life, truth and mercy. In other words, be truthful and merciful. You know, let's be honest, most of us like justice for others and mercy for me. God says mercy for all. But they don't deserve it, Lord. They hurt me. Has the Lord forgiven you of all your sin and horrible things you did? Yes. He's merciful. And we are to display that mercy. Be merciful and truthful. Walk in truth, God's truth. And hold on to those virtues. It says, let them be written on the tablet of your heart. We can know things in our mind, but if it doesn't travel to our heart and change our inner being, it's no good. We have to live these things. We have to live them out and display God's character in our life. And notice at verse 4, if you do this, you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Wow. That's quite a verse. We will find favor and high esteem, success in God's sight. Do you want God to think highly of you? Wow, isn't that awesome? We don't have to walk around thinking, wonder what God thinks of me. Well, if you're in his word, you're obeying it, you're merciful, you're truthful, you're sharing that character of God with others, he's well pleased with you. Isn't that wonderful? There are people that pray, oh, I wish I could please God or do something for God. Well, you can just live for him and display his character. That's not hard to do, is it? You can do it on the job, in the home, in the church, in the neighborhood, wherever you are, in the store. You can let people go ahead of you. Oh, no, that's too far. No, you can let people go ahead of you. You know, there's other things you can do. Let them cut in front of you without getting angry. Just say, praise the Lord. I'm being merciful today. This should just be our normal character without thinking about it. And we will esteem favor from the Lord and high esteem, which means success. Maybe you don't feel successful in life. Maybe you're wondering, did I miss out on life, or wonder why I didn't achieve what I wanted to achieve, or I don't feel successful. Well, who measures success? If you're going to measure success by man, that's not going to do you any good at all. All of this ends the minute we leave this earth. And you take nothing with you. You're not going to stand before God and be questioned as to, well, how did you do down there? What position did you hold? Did you climb the ladder? Did you achieve your 10-year plan? Did you do this or that? No. What did you do with my son Jesus? That's it. You're successful. Living for Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? No pressure. No pressure. You can do a lot for the Lord. Just live it. Live out that Christian life. You'll find favor and high esteem. But notice this in verse 4. Not only in the sight of God, but among man. People won't have anything evil to say about you. Say, what a wonderful person they are. Love to be around them. So we do these things. There's a couple of things there. To be in the center of God's will, have wisdom from above. But then we get to the third point here. You say, okay, if I live this way, will I then know the will of God for my life? If I do these things, will I now know the will of God in my life? Not yet. Not yet. The next step here. You will be in God's will doing those things above, but in the affairs of life, will you always know what God's will is, what decisions to make? See, as we live God's way, in the first four verses there, as we live God's way, we go through many situations in life. We have to make many decisions, many hard decisions in life. And things come up unexpectedly. We don't wake up in the morning and say, throw something at me, Lord. You know, I'd like to go through a little tribulation today. You know, no, we don't. They just come. They just come at you. And a lot of times when you think it couldn't get any worse, guess what? It gets a little worse. And you get, as soon as you think you've got the answer, you wake up in the morning, things change. Oh, I thought I had the answer. Now I don't. So as we go through life, we have all these decisions to make. And I know you want to do the right thing. You want God's will. You want to be in God's will. How will I know God's will in specific situations? How will I know? Well, I do those first two things. But thirdly, I must do this, what it tells me in verse 5 and then 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you do that, then you must not lean on your own understanding. Then you must acknowledge him in all my ways, and he shall direct your paths. You notice the end of that? He shall direct your paths. That tells me I'll be in the center of God's will. Because if God is getting me to a certain place, and that word really means he'll smooth my path or my way. If he's going to have me on the right way and end me up in the right place, that must mean I'm in the center of God's will. So that means I do all of the above, and where do I end up? In the center of God's will. But these are hard things. Not impossible. These are things we should live by. First of all, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's not the end of it, but that's the first part. Trust in the Lord. That word trust there means to lie helpless down. Helpless face down before the Lord. Can you picture that? Have you been there? Just totally helpless, falling down before the Lord and saying, God, please answer me. I need your help. We've all been there. You just don't think you can make it. And you've tried everything. Well, that was a mistake. We shouldn't have tried everything. We should have done this right up front. I've literally had people say, I've tried everything else, so I'm coming for prayer. That's not a good statement. That doesn't make you sound like a great Christian. First of all, lie helplessly down before the Lord and know you can't do it. God doesn't want you to bear burdens that he didn't call for you to bear. He didn't make us so we could carry all these burdens. We're flesh and bone. We're weak. Jesus said, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, we're trying to carry these. I don't think any one of us could leave here today and lift up a 600-pound weight. Anybody here can do that? God wouldn't ask you to do that. Yet we go through life trying. trying to do it and figure it out. We're not too smart, are we? Wisdom comes from above. You see, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lie helplessly face down before me. Lord, I'm helpless. I bow down before you. Let's turn back to Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So I can trust in the Lord and do bad. I can trust in the Lord and still get a little angry. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, keep on living your life, and feed on his faithfulness. Count on him to be faithful to provide for you. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. There's a lot of times our desires are his desires if we're walking with the Lord. But then in verse 5, again he reiterates trusting. He says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Don't you love those words, it came to pass? Isn't it a great day when it comes to pass? Ah! But you notice he says, what you have to do, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him. You know what that word commit literally means? Roll off onto. Ah, all that burden, that concern, that pressure, the figuring out, the problem. He says, roll it off onto me. Cast your burdens on him. He cares for you. Just take all of that. Doesn't that sound simple? It'd be like someone coming next to you, grabbing and saying, have a great day. I'll pay off every bill, take care of you for life, and allow you to be free from any problems. Would you feel better? Wouldn't that be nice today? Ah, what a nice guy. God's saying that. Roll it all off onto me. Not 90%. Not 99%. Roll it all off onto me. You can't handle it. Just release it to me. Well, how's God going to work it out? That's his business, not ours. See, roll it all off onto me. But you must trust him. That word trust, it means that we're helpless, and I'm putting everything on you, Lord. If you don't do it, I won't get help. And I'm trusting you to work it out. I'm not every day waking up saying, are you really going to do it, God? That's not trusting. You roll it off onto him and you trust him. Just trust in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord for your salvation? If someone were to ask you today, where are you going to go when you die? Would you say heaven immediately? I hope so. We've gone over that enough here. If you can say that and trust him for that, why not trust him for everything in your life? Trust him. Well, because I don't see how he's going to work it out. Roll it off onto the Lord. Trust him 100%. It means we trust him with our whole being, our mind, our body, and soul. I just trust God. I just know he's going to come through. It means I'm also like a defeated soldier yielding myself to the conquering general. I've lost. And I'm giving myself over, yielding to the conquering general. No hope in myself. No hope of victory in me. It has to be in the Lord. He's my master. He's in charge of my life. I have no hope in myself. I trust God for my salvation, direction in life, and to take care of me. I just trust him. Maybe you have a hard time trusting, and that's where a lot of us could be. Maybe you have a hard time with this word trust because you've been hurt in life. Maybe someone has hurt you, left you, afflicted you. Well, know this, God is not like man. He is not like us. God is love. He's supreme. He's all-powerful. He's has unconditional love for you. So don't compare God to a person. You can trust God. You can completely trust God. He won't let you down. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He cares about you. He is able to do anything concerning you. And he's there to help you and me. Isn't that a wonderful place to be as a Christian? Just knowing that God will take care of me and work this out. But I have to trust him. I trust him with all my heart. He knows what's best. Jeremiah chapter 10, please. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah knew that. Lord, I know that the right way of man, it's not in myself. I'm not going to find it out myself. Because it's not man who walks to direct his own steps. We don't direct our own steps. God does. He's the one with the plan. We're not the boss. You know, a lot of people do things and then ask God to bless it. We first pray if God wants us to do it. And if it is, he will bless it. You see? We don't do something. God bless this thing I just did or this home I just bought or this or that. We ask God to bless things after the fact. It's the wrong way. We pray up front, Lord, give me wisdom, direction, your will. And if it is, you will work this out. If not, close the door. And if it is his will and we do it, he will bless it because it's his will. We don't have to worry about that. He will bless it. If we're worried about it after, it means we're trying to maintain it. And we're not sure it was God's will. If we were, we wouldn't worry about it. I don't like maintaining things. That's why, you know, all through this process of the building, I'm just praying, doing these steps that your will or whatever it is, this is too big for one person or a lot of people to bear. Your will, God, the decision has to be made up front by through people, through opening and closing doors, through answered prayer, through the Holy Spirit, all these things, the way God speaks. And you follow that path that God keeps opening and getting rid of the door, the way God closes. You don't strive to achieve anything. It's just following God. And you say, oh, does that work? It works. And you just trust God, because if it isn't God, we'll strive and have to maintain. But this is where God has led us and led you in your life. Proverbs 16, verse 1. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations, or that word could mean plans. The preparations or plans of the heart belong to man. We have our plans, don't we? But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The real answer is not from us. We can't talk it into being. The answer is from the Lord. We need to know that. A lot of people strive to do their thing. And you end up with trouble. We can have our plans. But we have to go through the process we're reading of today in order to allow God to work and show us whether it's his will or not. Because the answer, it's going to be from the Lord. We don't know the future. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't. Only God knows the future. And the result of what's going to happen in our life because of the decisions we made. Only God knows that. And we need to acknowledge that. Hey, as we pray, God will reveal if that's his plan or not. But the answer is going to be from the Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 24. a man's steps are of the Lord, a man that's following God. How then can a man understand his own way? You know, we're not going to be able to understand the right way if the Lord's ordering our steps. Only He knows. We just follow. Sometimes the way God moves and works, it doesn't even make sense to me. That's what we get into the next verse. You see, it doesn't make sense to me sometimes that the way things are working out. Well, how could that possibly help or whatever? See, I trust God, but I trust God with all my heart. But the second part of verse 5, I trust God, but I also mistrust myself. I can be wrong. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, because it will not make sense to you very often. My understanding is very limited. I don't see or know the future. Either do you. We don't know what's going to happen to us. Now, this doesn't mean that we turn off our brain and intelligence and all we've learned. That's not what it means. Because God uses and gives us wisdom, us and gives us wisdom from above. It means we don't depend or on or count on ourselves or make decisions on our own wisdom and experience. We have to bring God into the equation. We don't know enough of the facts or what God is doing. He can use what we know, but we don't count on that. That's the way we start off usually. We get an idea or God speaks, we think, and we pursue something. But then we have to live like we're going over today just to verify that it's God and His will. A lot of times when it's not His will and it's your own will, you strive or you get upset when things don't work out. There's a sign right there. Because in James it tells you wisdom from above is first peaceable. If you don't have peace about it, put it down. Put it down. In Romans it says, if you doubt, don't. You know, we have to be flexible, and we might have an idea or use our brain or intelligence, but it might not be exactly what God's doing, but it's a start, and that's when we allow God to just take over and trust Him with all our hearts. Well, if this is of you, God, take us forward. Take me forward. Continue me on this path. But don't start leaning on your own understanding. You see, because you might hit roadblocks and you'll say, oh, that's not God's will. Trust in the Lord. If it's still, if you can still go, the door's not closed, you do it. But if the door closes, don't try to bang it down. I've had doors close over many decisions in the years. And you try to open another door. Or you bang a little harder. Or you bother them again with a phone call. Or you write a letter. Or today an email. And you try different things because I can't accept that door's closed. If it's closed. You know, the Christian walk is very simple. It's for the young and the old. You just flow with the Spirit of God and accept what happens. Just go with it. As soon as the stress, the striving, the unrest, the peace disappears, put it down. Wait on the Lord. Know this. A lot of people say, yeah, but what if that's God's will for my life and I don't do it and follow up on it? And people fear that both ways. You can over-spiritualize or under-spiritualize. The best thing to know is that if God's will for you is a certain thing and your heart, as we've read here, is right before God and you truly want His will, it will happen. You don't have to worry that you're going to miss out. Trust God. It just won't happen your way. But if it isn't God's will, you don't want it. So you've got nothing to lose by stepping back and saying, work it out, Lord. He's not going to cheat you out of life because you just weren't smart enough. You should have taken another step or another day of faith. No, God doesn't work that way. He knows that we're just mere human beings. I keep reminding myself of that. God, I'm just a frail, rotten, lousy human being. I need your help. And he works through us. It'll happen. But you need to trust him and don't lean on your own understanding. You know, we need to make decisions by trusting in God. Our own understanding is our biggest enemy. Because we can think, no, it should go this way. God says, no, that's what you think. That's what the world says. But it's not my way. Don't lean on your own understanding. You know, and in verse 6, the next step I must take, and all my ways I must acknowledge him, and he shall, you must believe this, he shall direct your path, smooth your path out, and bring you to the right place. But I must acknowledge him in all my ways. What does that mean? I affirm, I acknowledge, he's my master, he knows best, you're the Lord of my life, you're the one with the plan, your way is best. I continue to acknowledge all the way through the process, you're in charge, you're in charge, you're in charge. You know, you can get a job, you can work for a while, you're obedient to the supervisor, the boss, and you're doing a good job, but there's a certain point, a lot of times in a job where you feel, I know more than them, I know more than the boss. And so you start to get a little bitter. And they're making so much money, and I'm not making any money at all, and I know better. No, you always, in this case, you always have to acknowledge, he's the boss. I'm never smart enough, never. And he always has to take charge and guide me. I ask God to just help me. I'm open to whatever God does. Provide, you know, whatever he opens or closes, I go with. God, you did it. It's not, oh, that lousy person closed the door on me. Don't blame the person. God brought Joseph to Egypt to feed his family in the day of drought and famine. He got there through bitter circumstances. His brothers hated him, threw him in the pit, took him out, sold him into slavery. In the Genesis 50, Joseph was able to look his brothers in the eye and say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, so that I could be here today to feed you. Isn't that a great attitude? Don't start blaming people. Don't get bitter. Joseph knew that. Through all that horrible treatment, it was God's plan. So he could be put in a place to feed his family way down the road. That's how God works. Acknowledge that. If he closes the door, you go with it. He provides or takes away something, you go with it. If he does or he doesn't, you go along with it. I acknowledge you're the one in charge, the one with the plan. You know, it's hard for human beings to completely yield, isn't it? Man, we go through this process we call life, and it's just so hard in all these things to just trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him, because we just want a part of it always. Well, as I do that, you know, the good news is I find many times that I'm on the right track. Isn't that great? Wow. And I'm there peacefully. I'm on the right track, and I'm in God's will. And many times I find God's will was different than what I thought. But it was his will that I wanted. And that's the main thing, achieving God's will while we're living here. But I don't lean on my own understanding. Surrender your being to him. I acknowledge him. He's in charge. He takes over, and he will direct my paths. He can use people, circumstances, peace of the Holy Spirit. He can use his word, many ways to direct us. I just flow with what God does. We're here today. We'll be here next week, God willing, because God guided us to this point in time through our prayers, waiting on the Lord, doing what we can, did what I could. People reacted in certain ways. God had a plan. Isn't that great? Did I ever suffer? Yes. Doubt? Nah. I don't really doubt God, but we don't doubt or argue with God, do we? I don't know the word to use. We get this thing with God. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, we'll leave it at that. But you go through that in life, you know? He's in charge. Verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Reverence the Lord. Fear the Lord. Don't depart from evil. Don't get bitter. You know, tribulation will either make you bitter or better. And we want to be better and not bitter. Depart from evil. Don't say or do things you shouldn't. Stay in that beautiful place of walking with the Lord. It will be health to your flesh. All of these things will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Isn't that great? You will feel better. You'll feel better. It'll be health to your flesh, your body. Strength means drink to your bones. You're refreshed. There is a connection between the spiritual condition of a person and their physical health. There is a connection. And we want to feel good. God knows best. Let's end with Isaiah 26:3, if you'd like to turn there. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Thank you, God, for your word, your direction on how to be in the center of your will and have that place of peace. I pray today that these words would be written on our heart, that they would be words that we live by even today. As we go through decisions, we surrender all to you, Lord. We yield. You're God. We are your creation. You know what's best and what you created us for. That's what we want in our lives. I pray we're all able to roll off onto you this morning everything difficult concerning us. Let us enter into that peace that surpasses all understanding as we pray this morning. Let it be a wonderful day. And God, thank you for giving us this place to meet and giving us your word to live by. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.